Welcome back to Real Stories. I'm your host, and today we're sitting down with Buddy Blake, a real estate broker here in Wilmington, who's been doing this since 1998. Buddy, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, so I've been thinking a lot lately about something that happened on a Sunday and then got tested on a Monday. I teach this passage called the Sermon on the Mount to elementary kids with my wife, Erin. And we were going through it, and then the work week hit, and I had to actually live it.
Oh, that's interesting. So you're teaching it to kids and then immediately having to practice it in your actual job. What's the Sermon on the Mount about for people who maybe aren't familiar with it?
It's Jesus teaching about how the kingdom of God actually works. And it's kind of the opposite of how most people think business should work. You can read Matthew 5 through 7 if you want the whole thing. But basically, it's about things like loving your enemies, not worrying about money, not judging people, treating others the way you'd want to be treated. Simple stuff, hard stuff.
Right, right. So you're teaching this on Sunday, and then what happens on Monday that makes you think, oh, I need to actually apply this?
Well, I come into the office and there's a listing that's been sitting. The sellers are frustrated because the home isn't moving the way they thought it would. The price might be off, or the market's just slower than it was 6 months ago. And I'm feeling it too. No salary, no guaranteed next check, bills that don't care if the market's slow. And I'm realizing that worry doesn't actually help anything. It just makes you a worse professional. It pushes you to take a listing at the wrong price or talk a buyer into a house that isn't right for them, or just chase instead of serve. And that's exactly what Jesus was saying. Don't worry about those things. Look at the birds. They don't stress about what they're going to eat tomorrow.
That's wild, because I think most people in commission-based work, real estate, sales, whatever, they're living in that worry all the time. So how do you actually not do that?
Honestly, you don't do it perfectly. But after 25 years, I've seen enough to know that the things that last aren't built on panic. They're built on something real. Defensible pricing. Communication that doesn't disappear when the news is bad. A database of people who actually trust you. A repeatable process. In a slow market, and slow markets are the rain, those things either hold up or they don't. The storm doesn't create the problem. It reveals what you actually built on.
So you're saying the slow market is like a test of whether you built on rock or sand.
Exactly. Anybody looks good in a hot market. But when things get tough, you find out what's real. Same thing with a house. A property problem doesn't show up in the listing photos. It shows up in the inspection, when the market slows down, when you're actually living there. The foundation matters.
Okay. So that's one piece. But you mentioned something about judging people and not judging. That seems like a big one in real estate negotiations.
Yeah, this is the heart of it for me. What actually shows up in a negotiation is almost never about the number on the table. Behind the seller who won't budge on $3,000, there's usually something else. A marriage coming apart, a parent who died and this was their house, a job that ended without warning, a diagnosis nobody mentioned, adult kids who can't agree on selling, aging and knowing this is probably the last house, grief at leaving a place where the family was happy. A real estate transaction is one of the biggest financial events of somebody's life, and it almost always lands on top of something else. And the agent on the other side, they've got the same life happening to them, plus the same fear about their own next check. So before I judge the unreasonable demand, I need to deal with the log in my own eye first. Not because the spec isn't real, but because I can't see well enough to help anyone until I do.
Wow. So you're saying that what looks like stubbornness or being difficult is usually just pressure from somewhere else.
Right. And inspections are where this gets really concrete. Both sides stop being people to each other. The seller hears, your house is bad. The buyer hears, you're being difficult. The question that unlocks it is, if I owned this house, what would I actually think is fair? Not what could I get away with, what's fair? That one question changes everything.
That's such a simple shift, but I can see how it would completely change the dynamic. What about the stuff about being kind to people who aren't kind to you? That happens in real estate too, I'm guessing.
All the time. There's an agent on the other side who's been unpleasant, or a client who's difficult. The easy thing is to match that energy, score the point you could score, not return the call as fast, send the document late. But the teaching is to be the same professional to the hard person that you are to the easy one. Return the call. Send the document you aren't obligated to send. Don't score the point. And nobody gives out awards for this, and it doesn't always come back around, which is exactly the point Jesus was making. If it always came back, it would just be strategy. It wouldn't be anything real.
So, there's this idea that integrity is supposed to be its own reward, not a tool to get what you want.
Yeah, and in a low-trust profession like real estate, that actually stands out more than it should. Most people walk in braced for a pitch. So when you tell a seller the price is wrong when they don't want to hear it, or you tell a buyer to walk, or you turn down the listing that isn't a fit, that integrity gets noticed. But it has to be real. You can't do it as a tactic.
And then there's the waiting part, right? You mentioned deals that fall apart. That's got to be one of the hardest things.
It's brutal sometimes. You're waiting on the offer, the appraisal, the lender, the repair estimate, somebody's decision they keep postponing. And sometimes you wait through all of it and the financing dies or the buyer walks anyway. The teaching is to keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. But I'm not going to tie that up too neatly and say it always works out. A dead deal hurts. What I will say is that 25 years of hindsight has shown me that the March closing that fell through frequently wasn't the real outcome. Sometimes the deal that dies is actually a gift you don't recognize yet.
That's a hard one to trust in the moment, though.
Yeah, it is. But that's where the faith part comes in. You do the work, you stay professional, you treat people right, and then you let go of the outcome. That's not natural for anybody in commission sales. The check is the loudest thing in the room. What you chase reveals what you actually value, and clients can feel which one is driving.
So the last piece is about treasure and where your heart actually is. How does that play out in your work?
Jesus said, don't store up treasure on earth where it rusts and gets stolen, stored in heaven, and where your treasure is, there your heart is. For commission-based people, that's a daily choice. You can chase the money, or you can chase doing the right thing and let the money follow. And I'm not saying the money follows every time. I'm saying that after 25 years, the business that lasts is built on the second one, not the first.
So you're not saying that being kind and doing the right thing makes you rich?
No, I'm saying it makes you durable. And the durability is a side effect, not the goal. The goal is to do what's right because it's right. If that's not the goal, then you're still chasing the money. You've just dressed it up differently.
That's a really important distinction. So what would you say to someone listening who maybe doesn't have a faith background, is thinking about this stuff?
I'd say the kingdom Jesus describes runs opposite to how business normally gets done. And I've been doing this long enough to see that the opposite way turns out to be the more durable way. Not because it pays better, because it's right. And the durability is a side effect. You can test it yourself. Look at the agents or salespeople who are still around 25 years later. Most of them aren't the ones who played the hardest game. They're the ones who built on something real.
Well, buddy, this has been really good. Thanks for being here and for just being honest about how this stuff actually works.
Thanks for having me. If anybody's thinking about selling and wants a straight answer about what their home will actually bring, I'm glad to have that conversation. No pressure attached.
Real Stories is produced by Production Company. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.